My guest today is Bruvs co-creator, Ian Brown. The Bruvs is a cult cartoon comedy series set in Essex, featuring a family of London villains trying to go straight and mend their ways in a new home. So, very good afternoon to you.
Afternoon to you, Michelle. Lovely to be at Phoenix.
It's great to see you. Haven't been here for a while.
No, a long time ago, when we almost as we first started the Bruvs, and yeah, we're well into it now, you know.
So. How many years ago? Is it about two or three years ago?
Probably is, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably is, yeah. We're up to 40 odd films now on YouTube,
so blimey.
We're cracking them out.
I've gone a little bit cockney there by my blimey, mate, blimey. Your background is in journalism, TV writer and producer, and you've worked with so many people over the years, and if I could have a brag fest like this, I would, but Ian's not like that, but I'm going to force him to tell us some of the things that you've worked on.
Right. Well, I'd started out on sort of local papers, actually, and then got into national newspapers, and then worked my way into television news, and then from there got into more entertainment programmes. So what people might remember is the Big Red Book tribute show, This Is Your Life, and that was 26 shows per series, and I did that for about 20-odd years. And so through that, I've got to work with some, as you say, quite amazing names. They were amazing to me, you know, I was working with them. So, for example, it would be, you know, in today's currency, it would be Simon Cowell, Anton Deck, Piers Morgan, Amanda Holden. Then you're into movie stars like Charlton Heston and big names like, you know, Des O'Connor, Bruce Forsyth. Then big directors like Martin Scorsese and such like. I even got to write, and this ties into the Bruvs, I got to write for Homer Simpson for The Simpsons, and for a message that he was going to do for Simon Cowell on the show. And having done that and got sort of the approval of the guys at The Simpsons for my little script that I offered up, I suddenly thought, God, I really do want to work in animation. You know, not that I could do the drawings or such like, but I had this idea, and that then led to the Bruvs. So yeah, no, so through those sort of names, as it were, that I was able to work with, you know, other things came up, you know.
Now let's talk about the Bruvs. Give everybody the outline of the characters in it, and you voice all the characters.
I do pretty much all of them. We've got some new characters now, yeah, since I last saw you, and some other people have been dragged screaming and kicking into a studio to speak into a microphone for,
yep,
us, because I can't quite pull them off, as it were. But yeah, no, it's a family, as you said, it's a family of villains from London, and they've moved to this sort of leafy Essex in their big houses, and they're trying to behave and act, you know, in their best behaviour, but they fail dismally, basically. You know, the lead characters are the brothers, Doug and Den Bruv, and generally speaking, each episode ends up with them sort of thumping each other for some reason or other, whether they're trying to embrace a new frothy coffee shop, or they go to an art gallery, try and get some culture, or they go to their new dentist and they're sort of waiting patiently, and it all kicks off, mm, as they're waiting in there. And it's just one thing I've found, and it is great fun trying to think up what these guys will do. And, you know, as you say, it's been a few years now, and over those years, myself and co-creator Owen Clark, who's the animation director, and indeed all the other guys on the team, you know, we've got amazing musicians, Tig Winslet and Pete Harbour, and our great sound recordist and editor, Paul Richmond, and we now all know these characters. They're like chums, these characters. Not that you'd really want them as neighbours or anything, or actually in your own family, but they are, you know, we know them, and we sort of say, what if they did so-and-so? And, like, for example, Paul said, you know, they should do Gogglebox, you know, and so we can't say the name of the episode, but it's on there, and we had huge fun thinking what, you know, they would think of watching people watching telly talking about telly, you know,
yeah.
it's not proper telly, you know, so it just great fun with these characters, and it just goes on and on, luckily, and people seem to enjoy it.
Now we're going to play a little bit of an excerpt. Have I said that right? Because I never say that word correctly. Is that right?
I guess it is, yeah.
We're going to hear a little bit from Gone Shopping. You say this is for sort of teenagers upwards, not for children.
It's not for young kids. Certainly the visuals are... it's all cartoon, obviously,
yeah,
and it's cartoon violence. Nothing stronger than Family Guy.
Yeah.
But we made a couple of episodes at the start where, because we had the opinion that you had to know these guys meant business. They are proper villains, you
yeah
know, and that you don't want to cross them. And therefore, the fact that generally they end up beating each other up. Now, we sort of fade that out. You know, it's taken for granted. You know what they're up doing to one another. And we've got, you know, sort of catchphrases now, like, not a face, and things like that, you know. It's sort of, it all, as it kicks off. So, No, we have a lot of, it's we say it's for grown-ups, basically. Mm. We say it's for grown-ups.
Here we go. This is The Bruvs with a little excerpt from Gone Shopping.
This is The Bruvs, the everyday story of two violent London criminals trying to become model citizens in their new home in Essex. Good luck with that, then.
We're a bruv. Trying to be good in the neighbourhood, but being naughty comes so naturally. So naturally. So naturally.
Morning, gents. Can I help you?
We very much hope so.
We are fairly new to this area, and we are looking to support local independent artisanal establishments such as this, rather than the corporate outlets.
Right, so what are you after then?
Fork handles.
Oh yeah, very funny.
I beg your pardon?
Fork handles. Very funny.
We do not get your drift.
Like that comedy thing, you say fork handles, but it sounds like you want four wax candles. To...
Yay!
Well, there you go. So it's clearly, people might remember an absolutely classic sketch from Two Ronnies, you know, fork handles, fork handles. And it's a sort of homage to that. I was lucky enough, name dropping, to work with Ronnie C briefly, you know, a few times. Again, it was another conversation between, you know, us who make The Bruvs, and we were going, but what if they went shopping, you know, for supplies for a job, you know, a bank job or something, you know, and I suddenly said, God, we've got to do the fork handles line, you know, because they really, really would want fork handles to hit people about the head with, you know. So,
we're not saying you should do that, by the way.
No, we don't condone that.
We don't.
Other things to hit people about the head with are available.
There are. In local shops as well. In local shopping.
Absolutely.
So who are the characters? Because there's quite a few in there, and you do voices for... rather a lot of them. So you've got the girlfriend, you've got your
nephew. There is Chanterelle, who is the sort of permatanned girlfriend of Doug, and we've got the brother's dad, old man Bruv, and their sister Janice, and her son Jason, who is sort of the shining light, the future of the Bruv's empire. Only don't, you know, put all your eggs in one basket necessarily for Jason. That's the family, the core family. And beyond that, we've now introduced, because we're also now doing, you know, the very hip thing that everyone is doing now, the podcasts. So we're doing sort of audio versions of the characters as well before we animate them. And that's all on SoundCloud. And we introduced a sort of a new nemesis character, a police character. And it turns out that our animation director, Owen Clark, can do the most amazing impression of the late John Thor as Regan out of the Sweeney.
Oh.
He does the whole thing with a great sort of Manchester accent, speaking entirely through gritted teeth, and it is bang on. And it's so there's one of those episodes up there as well. And so we hope to expand that character a lot, because it's just great that they've got this sort of nemesis sort of stalking them and trying to catch them out and not sort of winning the day.
Yeah. So Chanterelle, what are you wearing today?
No, I can't do that. If I speak to Chanterelle. There's a lot of wizardry. As you know, there are lots of knobs and buttons.
I thought you were going to go into this, really. No, you're not going to do it.
No, I can't do it. Sorry. She's right up in the highest point. The voice I do last whenever I record any.
Yeah.
Because it just kills my voice. And then it goes through a machine that makes it even more...
It's very high.
It is very high.
Very high, yeah.
And she's...
It's a disaster!
That sort of thing. That sort of thing.
There we go. We did get to say something. Yeah. Are they based on any real people?
Well, I couldn't possibly say, but let's put it this way. When I first moved to this area, I did observe various characters who, it seemed, were prone to sort of parking very, very nice cars half up on the pavement outside cafes and sort of spending most of their time in those cafes. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily doing what one might call a day job. So my mind got wandering to, I wonder where the money comes from for these characters. And it goes from there. And then they're sort of recognised by others as more well-known characters of, you know, within the world of villainy.
Yeah.
And in fact, we've got quite a lot of support and fandom from that very world. You know, Dave Courtney likes us and loads of people on that thing. And there's a thing run in London, a tour runs from the Blind Beggar, you know, famous craze incidents pub, and it's called the Gangster Tours, and I'm giving them a free plug now, but you can do a tour of sort of gangster area of East London, and the guys who run that love it, you know, seem to love us. So it's great. It's really, it's quite nice to know that we're sort of getting the characters kind of right, although we're, you know, we're doing comedy, not real villainy, hopefully.
So when you want to sit down and you want to do an episode, do you actually, you write it out first and then you take it to co-creator who then does all the drawings, as it were?
Yeah, absolutely. We sort of come up with ideas, toss the ideas around a little bit about what happens if they did this and then they did that and whatever, and then I'll sort of have a go at writing something. Then that gets emailed around and everyone has a little thought about it. And then what tends to happen as well is budget and time constraints used to sort of halve the script, as it were, because Owen would say, well, hold up, if you want me to animate that, that's going to be about 42 months worth of work, you know, and I'll probably be dead at the end of it. So I say, oh, okay, well, we won't have the zombie apocalypse yet, but we'll talk about the zombie apocalypse, yeah. Maybe, and we'll hear a noise about it or something. So it's that sort of thing. It's all scaled down, but luckily with sound effects and whatever, you know, the mind, you know, as we all know, can tell a story in its own way. It's
now, cool. Is it on TV? Because it has been on TV.
It has. We did a little deal with the channel Dave, the UK TV channel, and which is on Freeview and such like. And they took 10 episodes, which ran sort of late nights last year. And they still have those 10 episodes, and they sit on their catch-up thing, which is like the iPlayer, BBC iPlayer or whatever, and that's called UK TV Play. So there's 10 episodes on there as well. But generally now everything is on our YouTube channel, and sort of all the new stuff is exclusive to the YouTube channel.
Yeah,
we're on a sort of big American site called Newgrounds as well, right, which is a very geeky sort of game developer animation, you know, site. And luckily, they like it too. You know, I didn't think necessarily that the humour would travel that well, but actually, it's entirely international, it seems. Yeah. You know, lots of people go, loads of our American fans, if I dare say that, are Hispanic. The Hispanic population seem to, they've said to me, really get sort of irony and all that sort of thing. So it's great. It's really rewarding. You know, as you know, online, you get this sort of instant feedback, and it's luckily so far, it's generally been very positive, which is great. It's
really I was saying, you know, you just block those people. Once you get anything negative, block, gone. I wouldn't even argue. I don't know how Piers Morgan does it on Twitter. He just goes back.
Well, he loves it, doesn't he?
I think he's trending at the moment. I've mentioned his name and I shouldn't
do it. He trends every morning.
Yeah,
doesn't
of course he does.
After his show.
Poor Susanna. Bless her. Oh. Now, you've got a full song coming up. This is Halloween. Basically, you've got Halloween special.
It's coming, yeah, indeed. Well, obviously, it's the 1st of October. That presses the button, as we all know. And then next week, it's Christmas. So we thought we'd get in a bit early to try and totally cash in on the Halloween fest. All the adverts actually started, I think, last night. I saw a thing for a major supermarket, which was selling, you know, costumes and such like. And so Halloween is big. And we have found that it's very big for the Bravs. Because we have this little bit of violence in it, people seem to love it for Halloween.
Halloween violence,
absolutely, celebrate. Let's celebrate. It's a strange, strange festival, but there we go. We did basically an image last year, which was, we came up with this phrase, brick or, you know, rather than doing trick or treat, they go out and do brick or treat. Mm. So it's really a great opportunity for the Braves to join their little nephew, Jason, going around all the neighbourhood and basically legalised demanding stuff with menaces. And that image was hugely popular, and loads of people shared it and whatever. So I said, we've got to do a sort of a film. So then our wonderful musician, Stig and Pete, said, there's a song in that. So I said, well, go for it, see what you can come up with. So they did. They came up with the song. We're planning to do a proper episode about Brick or Treat, but in the meantime, we sort of got this music video, which is Brick or Treat, and it's got everything in it. It's got dancing pumpkins, spiders, everything, all in the film of it on YouTube. But it's a lot of fun.
Here we go. This is Brick or Treat, as sung by the Bruvs.
Little Jason's going out on Halloween. He hopes to get the biggest doll he's ever seen. Be kind to our saucepan or you'll get to know what we mean. Hear as much as you can, it's our advice. All your fancy German won't have made them look so nice. Brick or treat, brick or treat, brick or treat, oh yeah. Dressed up in his outfit, he'll knock on your door. They make a little Jason want for more. Spangles are his favourite, he kindly will understand.